Game on.
Tennis.
But Stephen Higgins joins the conversation now of Cross Court View after you scalding Alan Collian early for the 6-0 shout, but however, we'll gloss over that. We'll gloss over that. Did you enjoy the Wimbledon finals? And as a man who has a passion for the sport and who follows it in detail religiously, did you appreciate the finals and who won them? Or you can see where this question is going. Is there a bit in you that says this is really bad for the sport, considering for the first time in Wimbledon history, but the men's and women's champions have served suspensions for banned substances?
Oh, that's a serious one to open. Yeah, I think if you look at the actual cases on their merits, I think it's always really important when you talk about doping cases. They release a report, the ITIA, the International Tennis Integrity Agency. They're well worth reading. Like, they're not particularly long. I know people aren't as sad as me about tennis stuff, but...
No, but that's why I posed the question, because you follow the sport in so much detail, and that's why I love reading the stuff from Cross Court View, and I'm not just saying that because you're standing across from me, but to kind of have that level of knowledge is really intriguing.
Yeah, I think if you read the cases themselves, so for Jannik Sinner, famously, like, the most ridiculous story ever of his physio was using cream on a cut finger that had a sterical clostebol in it. It did actually have the marking on the cream. It's given over the counter in Italy. I can't believe he brought it on tour with him anyway, but he brought it on tour, gave a couple of massages to Jannik Sinner, got into his system in a microscopic amount, and that's how he tested positive for that. With Iga Swiatek, it was a contaminated sample of melatonin, the kind of sleep aid that she took, I think it was during the Asian swing or so, when she tested positive, when she was struggling with sleep. Mm. When you read the cases, they were consistent with what was claimed, and that's why the sentences were quite lenient and small. And they didn't hide what they, you know, were saying. Like, they basically, this was in her system, this is why it was. The issue with Sinner was more about, was the sentence a bit too lenient because of his status? The flip side that you could say is, because he's the world number one, he has access to the best lawyers in the world, and funding isn't an issue, so he can put a much stronger defence than someone who's 200 in the world. I don't know, you can argue either way. Basically, when it came into this season, WADA were challenging what he had been given as suspension, were going to take him to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, but they reached a settlement. He had his 3-month ban. Some people think it's convenient that he came back in time for Rome, so he didn't miss any of the Grand Slams. I don't know, I suppose that's up to each person to decide. But I think on the merits of the actual case themselves, the findings were consistent with what was alleged.
Okay, no, that's very well detailed and laid out, so thank you for that. On the court, on the action then, only 5 weeks have passed since Carlos Alcaraz stunningly saved 3 match points in a French Open final fight back for the ages, but his hopes of a third straight victory at Wimbledon were dashed by his great rival. A deserving victory for Jannik?
Yeah, I was going to bring in some sort of like condolence chocolates or something for you.
to Carlos.
I'm a Sinner man, by the way.
All right. Oh, I know, yeah.
Controversial.
No, I think it was actually great, and probably the rivalry needed it. Actually, it's people were comparing it a bit to when Nadal finally beat Federer at Wimbledon, and how that was really important to show that he could actually beat him on his home turf, so to speak. So Alcaraz had won the last 5 matches, obviously that extraordinary final in Roland Garros. So the pressure was kind of on Sinner to break that stranglehold on the rivalry, and Sinner was absolutely brilliant. With Alcaraz, we've always seen, as magnificent as he is when he's on, he fluctuates in form much more than Jannik Sinner. Jannik Sinner is very much in the Djokovic mold, where he's going to play about 80 to 90% of his level for most of the season, hence why he's world number one and he wins most of the titles that he enters. Alcaraz's ceiling is higher than Jannik Sinner, but he doesn't maintain it to the same degree. Now, Roland Garros, when they were neck and neck, Alcaraz was able to go into this kind of overdrive gear that Jannik Sinner couldn't compete with at those moments. But in Wimbledon, apart from at the end of the first set where he kind of produced some of his extraordinary shot making and defence, he was a little flat relative for him afterwards. Sinner played a much better tactical match in terms of trying to keep the court very narrow when he's playing, just like hitting down the middle, taking advantage off his back and in particular to strike early. That's rewarded much more on grass than clay. So obviously clay, you're expecting long rallies, but Sinner served really well, got a first strike in to keep Alcaraz a bit off balance. And then when Alcaraz was kind of, we mightn't say panicking, but trying to come up with incredible tennis, he was struggling to fill in the gaps, to like spot those different areas. He made some peculiar choices with drop shots and drop volleys, which is obviously very risky with someone as fast as Jannik Sinner. But the rivalry probably needed it. And now it's very exciting going forward because we know they can beat each other on all the different surfaces and have these great contests.
Okay, so a pivotal moment in this modern rivalry of men's tennis. The ladies' final. Bit anticlimactic.
The ladies' final was really tragic, actually, as a, I mean, it's kind of an overdone maybe word, but Amanda Nisimova is like a fantastic player with a great story. And actually the first Grand Slam I really went to, kind of having done the site, was the 2019 French Open. And I saw her there at it because people were talking about, you have to see the 17-year-old. She's amazing. And her backhand is just magnificent. It's one of the best in the world. And she's a great story coming back after, obviously, the horrendous thing of her father dying really young and her kind of trying to take a break from the game to get her career back together. But she just came up against the steam train that is Iga Świątek in a final. Iga Świątek's record in finals is extraordinary. So she's 22-5 going in. So she basically just wins finals when she gets there. And she's a little like Federer in terms of, she generally starts really fast and starts to run away and you have to keep up with her. And for poor Amanda Nisimova, you had that combination of Iga starting incredibly focused, the best she's ever played on grass by miles, and Nisimova struggling with the moment of being, you're in your first major final, you're in your first Wimbledon final, playing against such an extraordinary player. And when you take that together, Iga just raced away and there was no stopping her.
Okay. But you would imagine and you would hope, or will we expect Nisimova to be to recover?
Yeah, what you really, really hope is that she gets back there again, because it was a little bit like...
Is it more hopeful than expectant though?
I think on the grass, she has a better chance. We're talking best of three. There have been multiple new champions in Wimbledon, I think the last 6 or 7 years, a new champion. So it isn't the grind it is, let's say, on clay or the hard courts where everyone plays well. Wimbledon is still a bit specialised. It rewards people who are power hitters, who can strike early. Everyone generally plays well on the other surfaces. So she does have a chance. I hope she does, because I don't want that to be like her footmark in history of being, she played that final where she lost 6-love, 6-love in under an hour to Iga Świątek, because she's a much better player than that. So yeah, I really hope she's able to rebound, maybe over the American hard courts.
Brilliant stuff. Stephen Higgins of Cross Court View, thank you as always.